3 weeks ago, we began this discussion on discipleship, and we looked first at the motive for the life of the disciple is the recognition that God is present and that God graces each and every one of us. The second week, we reflected on the manner in which you and I are called to love God with mind and heart and soul and strength, and that's by service to our neighbor. For Jesus equated the service to the neighbor as the litmus test of the love for God. And this week, we look at the gratitude that is to mark the life of a disciple. That gratitude is sometimes referred to as stewardship. Stewardship is not a Protestant word. Stewardship is not even a churchy word. The word stewardship falls from the lips of Jesus. In St. Luke's Gospel, we're told that there was a rich man who had a steward, and the rich man was told that the steward had wasted his money. So the rich man called in the steward, and he said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Render an account of your stewardship." The steward is the manager. In contemporary terms, the steward would be the money manager. People have a piece of money, and they hand it to a money manager, and they say to the money manager, "Now you invest this, you keep your eye on this, you make sure that this works." The money manager can take part of that money as a fee, but it's not his money. He doesn't own that. He has been given it, he has been made ward of it, and he is ultimately called to be accountable for it. The disciple understands that all that he or she is, all that he or she possesses, all that he or she will one day be, is a gift of God, that is handed to each and every one of us to manage, and that we will return that gift, that all of us will stand before the Lord, and he will ask us one question: render an account of your stewardship. How did you manage what I entrusted to you? And God forbid that I will stand before the Lord and I will assume that what I have is my own. God forbid that I will have forgotten that it is a gift to me. So the word that describes the disciple is stewardship, being a good manager of the gifts God has provided. The second word I want to call your attention to is generosity. The word generosity comes from the Latin word that means birth. And in fact, it means the birth of a noble person. It recognizes the fact that all of us have been abundantly blessed. We have been blessed as no other people have. There is literally nothing that you and I as a people lack. And yet so many people on the face of the earth have very little, if any, of what we have. And that's not because I'm better than they are. It's not because I'm holier than they are. It's not because I'm more honest than they are. It's not because I am more faithful than they are. It's an accident of birth. I was born here in this time, and they weren't. And I have been gifted in a way they never have. And as the French say, noblesse oblige, to those who have been highly gifted, they have a greater responsibility to share those gifts. The third word I want to put before you today as we look at stewardship is the word greed. The scriptures, the New Testament, was written in Greek. And the word for greed in the New Testament Greek is pleonexia. P-L-E-O-N-E-X-I-A. Pleo means more. Nexia means to desire. So greed is to desire more. That's raw greed, and that probably is not the way any of us live. It's not that we desire more, but we are tempted to desire to hold on to what we have. The word pleonexia, though, does work its way into our vocabulary. It's a medical term. The lungs supply oxygen to the blood. And a person who has pleonexia, the blood holds on to that oxygen and does not transmit it to the tissues of the body. And so consequently, a person becomes weak, and the tissues and the organs of the body begin to atrophy. It's a pretty good image of greediness. Pleonexia. Well, the disciple of Jesus, the one who follows him down the road, is the one who is committed to the reality that all that he is or has, she is or has, is a gift of God. And that out of a spirit of gratitude, wishes to be a good steward and to return to God a portion of what God has given. And we do that classically in three ways. We do that by prayer. We take the time to gather for public worship and for private prayer. We don't have a lot of time. We have more than enough to fill our time. There is more to do than 24 hours in the day allow. But what we do is we place the Lord first and we carve out the time for public worship and for private prayer. We return to the Lord a portion of the time that he has given to us. The second thing we do is we recognize that the talents and the gifts that we have are the gift of God. And we create an opportunity, we take the opportunity to share some of those gifts, some of those talents with others. It's a way we return to God what God has given to us. And the third way is we take our financial resource, our money, and a portion of that we return to the work of the gospel and to the works of charity, recognizing that that too is a gift of God, and that being a good steward, a good manager, is to make sure that there is a return for the gift that was given. Well, this week we begin the program of financial stewardship for St. Matthew for the coming year. Tomorrow I will send a letter to every household of the parish, and I will ask you to do a couple of things. First of all, I will ask you to take some time and to call to mind the blessings that you have received, the material blessings and the spiritual blessings. Think of those dozens and hundreds of gifts that God has given to you. That's the first step. And then the second step is to prayerfully consider, how do I express, how do I give thanksgiving for what I have received? What is an appropriate way for me to return to the Lord and to the work of the gospel, a part of my resource as an expression of my gratitude for what God has given me? That's what I want you to do. And I want you to do that prayerfully. It's the action of a disciple. It's the action of a believer. It's a person who is willing to take gratitude, thanksgiving, and make it real. Give it action. Bartimaeus at one time could see. And then for some reason, a disease or an accident, he went blind. And he lost not only his sight, but he lost his livelihood. He ended up as a beggar at the side of the road. More than anything else, he wanted his sight. And he asked Jesus for that single gift. And we're not told that Jesus touched him or anything else. Just that in an instant, his sight was restored. Bartimaeus knew where the gift came from. Bartimaeus understood how deeply he had been graced and blessed. And he acted on that. He got up and he followed Jesus up the road.